Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, this session is supposed to be holy work in Canada. But I think I better finish up Colossians first because the test is coming, right? So it's better cover more material. And at the end, if you still have time, I still can cover, introduce you and show you some pictures about our Canadian brother and sister. How many of you are from Canada here? Raise your hand. One, two, only two? I think it's more. Okay. Three at the end. Okay. So actually, in Christ, we are all one. But of course, we separate, live in different countries. So, let's continue our study about the book of Colossians. Okay, so... okay, let's talk about some characteristics of the deception. Let's turn back to the book, chapter 2, verse 3. Where did we stop? Which brother did we stop? Okay, can you read verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3, loudly? Verse 4? Okay, so let's kind of go through quickly what are some characteristics of the heresy, heretical words, or the false teaching. First, we must understand they could be very persuasive. Do you know persuasive? Like salesmen, when they sell you something, they always say it's good. Right? Sometimes it's not about what you buy, but who you buy from. If the good salesman can talk like, wow, even the worst product, you can talk into buying it and you believe in something good. But when you go home, open it, or you try it, use it, it's junk. It's useless. So some of the false teachers, when they come to you, when they talk about the faith, their faith, and they could be very persuasive. Sometimes if you just follow their logic, follow their idea, you cannot get out. Just like, I don't know whether you've been to any, or you allow any Jehovah Witness or Mormons knock your door. Anyone have Mormons or Jehovah Witness knock your door? 2x2 come to you? Anyone? Yeah. Don't let those people come in. First, because they are very dedicated, right? They go out is to preach. They go out is not to hear from you. So if they cannot defeat you, if they cannot win the debate, they'll come again, bring someone more. But anyway, they are very, you know, the way everybody, every religion, the way they talk things, they have their own system. If you follow their system, you fall into the way of thinking logically. 1, 2, 3, 4, and then this. Step 1, step 2, step 3, they are just like, you cannot get out. Because they are so persuasive. But of course, unless you are very familiar, you are very rooted from the truth. One time there was two Jehovah's Witnesses knock an elder's house. Of course, they didn't know he is our elder. Right? They lock into the house, they want to preach to him. And of course, because our elder is an elder, so they allow him to come in. But they talk. They say, oh, you believe this and that. But the elder asked him, what is love? He suddenly, they got stuck. Because this is not in the question. Because, you know, when you preach to someone, oh, you say this first, and then when people answer, you go in this, step two, step three. But suddenly, the elder asked him, what is love? Oh, what is love? And they quickly go to their notes. Where is love? Oh, I couldn't find it. Why this guy suddenly asks us this strange question? But of course, the elder asked him, come on, you don't know what is love and you preach to me. Love is what? Love is from God. God is love. You don't know this, you go home, study more. Well, of course, because he's our elder. But don't do this because you're an elder, right? You're not an elder. So what I'm saying is, people are very persuasive. Even Buddhism, the way of the theory is very persuasive. You go into the system, you cannot talk them out. Muslim or Islam is the same. Taoism is the same. Hinduism is the same. If you fall into the system, you try to talk using the language or the teaching, you cannot win them. Right? Philosophy is the thing, is the very same thing. So don't believe because they are very persuasive. Just like fishing. When you go fishing, of course you need a hook. But the hook alone is not enough to get fish. What do you need more? Huh? The bait, right? Depends on what kind of fish you want to get. So they put meat or shrimps, They hide it under the hook. When the fish come, wow, this shrimp is so nice. Hook! Oh! Got choked, right? You cannot get out of the hook. That's why persuasive word of devil is the same. All the philosophy, other faith, other religions, at the end, if you look at the bottom, is hook from devil. They want to hook you off from the truth. But of course, they want to hide it. How did they hide it? Charitable work. Right? People say, wow, people in Buddhism, there's so much love. They have so much charitable work they did. Look at, the people are so good. The teaching, the moral teaching are so nice. The philosophy of life is so transcending. Seems that they're also quite true. But don't forget, at the end, after you eat the meat, after you eat the bait, it's still a hook. There was a brother. One day he's at home, and two Jehovah's Witnesses come to preach to him. Right? According to the Bible, if someone teach not according to Christ, don't even acknowledge Christ Jesus, don't even allow him into your house, don't even greeting to him. But that brother didn't listen, didn't understand. He allowed them to come in. And guess what happened? Of course, they make friend to him, talk to him. And that brother, at that point, already have some grudges with some church member. They think, wow, we are so-called church member, true church, but why people are like this? Already, he has some feeling, weakness about a true church. And he allowed these people coming to talk to him. Of course, people will take marks. If this house allow us to go in, we'll go again. Bring more books. Talk to him more again. Explain to him every day, go to study Bible with him. And after a while, he doesn't believe in the true church anymore. He doesn't believe in the truth. He got hooked up by the devil scheme. So, don't think heretical word is very rare or very strange. Sometimes, it can be very persuasive. So don't go into the system. Don't even be persuaded because they are very convincing. For example, speaking in tongue is the evidence of the Holy Spirit. For us, we are so sure about this. It has been revealed to us, revealed to the true church from day one. We believe that TJC believe Holy Spirit, and the only evidence of Holy Spirit is to speak in tongue. Right? We all believe this. From the Bible, it's so clear. From the book of Acts, it's so clear. But nowadays, some people don't even believe this. Even from our own church, they say, well, they use logical thinking, human thinking. They say, wow, look at those members. They have so much love. They have so much kindness. They don't speak in tongue. Can you say they don't have Holy Spirit? You look at the Bible, they say the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love and peace and joy. Now, this member, they have love and peace and joy. Even though they don't speak in tongue, can you say they don't have Holy Spirit? They question the fundamental truth using logical thinking. Of course, if you use logical thinking, it makes sense, right? It seems that, oh, they have love and peace and joy. Holy Spirit must be in them. But no, don't use this kind of logical thinking to look at the Bible. When the Bible is so clear, when they receive the Holy Spirit, they speak in tongue, that is the evidence. Don't try to use logical thinking to go around and try to make things up. Same as only one true church. Right? From day one, TJC exists. 1917, Holy Spirit revealed. What is the purpose of this church? Do you know? What is the mission statement at the early days through Jesus Church? Is to correct all the denominations. 万国更正教. In Chinese, literally, this means this church is to correct all denominations in all countries so that they can come back to the Bible. This is the purpose of God establishing the true church at the end time. Otherwise, why need another church? There are too many churches out there already. Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Protestant, so many. More than 30,000 denominations already. Why need one more? The reason God raised this church up is to go and correct all the other denominations, come back to the Bible, and receive true salvation. But now, even people from our own church question about one true church. Why we are so proud? Why you say you are the only one saved? This is so ridiculous. And why? Because they've been persuaded by the wrong teaching. Worldly thinking. They think, why you call yourself only one? Because in the world, nobody dare to claim they are the only one. Or should claim that it's not politically correct. So that's why. Secondly, philosophy. Now, how many of you take philosophy class in school? Raise your hand. Okay, some of you are. It's good to know what the thinkers believe in the world. But of course, one thing we must be sure, when you go to philosophy class, before you are into philosophy class, you have to know philosophy is inferior and secondary to the truth. Those are only thinkers. Try their whole life to think about issues of life, but they never get any results. Even the result they get cannot save you, cannot transform you, cannot change human behavior. So if you have this kind of preconcept rooted in the truth, then you study philosophy, you will not be lost. But if you don't root it in the truth, you don't know the Bible, and then go to study philosophy, and so deep into it, you get lost easily. Sometimes the way philosophers think is different than the way Bible say. 2,000 years ago, already there are philosophers. Even Paul was trying to preach to philosophers in Areopagus, but nobody listened to him because their mind is too twisted, too difficult, too complicated. So, philosophy sometimes comes from empty deceit, just like this verse in verse 2 and 3. Heresy is empty bubble. You talk so much, right? But it's empty, just like a bubble. It looks so big. Wow, so beautiful in color, shining, reflection of the sun. But you touch it, burst, nothing. There's nothing inside. Because it's contradict to the truth. It's not true. Let's turn to John chapter 8, verse 44. John 8, 44. Next round. John 8, 44. Underline this verse, brother and sister. There's no truth in devil. What does it mean, no true? Because he always lies from the very beginning. He kills and he lies. This is the characteristic of devil. True, what is lie? Lie means contradict the truth. Change the truth. Doesn't accept the truth. And today, why people lie? Because their heart is controlled by devil. So sometimes if our heart is not careful, not filled with the Holy Spirit, when we lie to our parents, our heart actually, devil is really smiling. Devil is laughing inside when we lie. So, empty deceit is one of the characteristics. And of course, heresy, the characteristic is tradition of man. Tradition of man. Look at all the wrong teachings. Actually, so wrong, but has been practiced for thousands of years. So people don't question it. Even within Christianity, like Sunday worship, Halloween, Easter, Trinity, Christmas, all of those so-called fundamental mainstream Christian practices actually are tradition of man. That means man make it. Tradition means pass through generation to generation. And because it had been practiced for so long, people think that it must be right. It must be authentic. But actually it's not. Now, if you talk about other tradition, even more, like Judaism practice, many of the things even Jews today are practicing is not from the Bible, but it's the rabbis, the teachers, passed from generation to generation, tell them to obey. So these are some characteristics of the heresy. And one more is according to the basic principle of this world. Right, the Bible tells us it's according to the basic principle. This means worldly thinking, worldly logics, worldly ideas. No, the world is controlled by devil. So that's why devil control people's mind. That's why we have to be very careful what kind of books that we read. Even if it's a novel, even if it's fiction, like Harry Potter, those kind of novel, Of course, it's fun, right? When you are young teenager, people read it. I saw a little girl in the church. Her eyes, her glasses are so thick. She loved Harry Potter. Wow, the Harry Potter is like this thick. I asked her, "Have you finished it?" I said, "Yeah, this is the second time, third time." I said, "This is thicker than my Bible." "Have you read the Bible?" I said, "No." "But Harry Potter, yes." Why people like Harry Potter? Why people like to read the things of the world? Because devil control the heart of the people. They're more interested in witchcraft, sin, this kind of man-made story than the truth. So they think that, oh, that is the truth. So this is very important that we have to understand. So how to check? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Continue, who's brother? Which one? Not according to Christ. All those heresies, no matter how much you describe it, if you just only use one sentence, is they are not according to Christ. Why people are so easily persuaded, affected, even captivated by them? Because they don't know Christ. They don't know the supremacy of Christ, the fullness of Christ, the almighty power of Christ, the uniqueness of Christ. And when they contact other philosophy, idea, religion, they just go away. So how do we check them? Is it according to Christ? Is it according to Christ's teaching? So that's why we have to. It's very important for us if we want to prepare ourselves to work for God in the future. We have to so rooted in Christ. We must know who is the Christ that we worship. What is his characteristics? What is his truth? So rooted. So if you know it, anybody say anything? Don't waste my time. Let me check. Is it according to Christ? No, you're talking nonsense, right? I know you're talking this is rubbish. Because I know Christ. But if you don't know Christ, carry away. No use. Verse 5. Continue, the brother. Next one. Yes, with verse 5. Loud, clear, please. Huh? Steadfastness of your faith. Sometimes we are quite shaky in our faith, right? Sometimes we are quite shaky. From the question you ask during the Q&A question, sometimes I'm quite worried. All the questions we are always focused nowadays is this a sin? Is this mortal sin? And if this is mortal sin, what happened to me? If all we ask, all we think is sin, is it a sin? Or how do we deal with it? If up to this point we are 20-some years old, if we are still focused on, am I going to die very soon? Or am I going to fall into this sin? Then our faith in Christ is not steadfast. We are struggling on the margin. Do you know there's something called margin? When you're on the margin, that means you're on the brink. One more step, you fall into the cliff. If you're in the margin, if you're in the cliff, how can you be steadfast? So we should leave the fundamental teachings. We should leave the fundamental spiritual cultivation. So we hope that next year, by this time when we come back, we won't ask the question. Or we won't think, oh, whether I commit sin or not, whether this is a sin. We don't even think about this because we are so far from the cliff. When you are steadfast, you are deeply in Christ, you are deeply in His fullness, His power, His might, His love. You have no space to think about all the other bad things. Because this is not your objective in life. So Paul said, I hope all of you are steadfast in Christ. Secondly, walk in Him. Verse 6 tells us. Continue. Next brother. Verse 6. 第六节. 2 verse 6. Did you read verse 6? Read again, please, louder. Walk in Him. Underline this. Sometimes the Bible is so beautiful. Try to really try to visualize this when you read it. Walk in Christ. You know, Christ, you can walk in Him. You just don't think about Him only. Walk, imagine the carpet, right? Or a place, or a tile, or a ground. You walk in Him. That means on Him you stand, on Him you move, and on Him you progress. And you are truly standing on Him. So what does it mean, brother and sister? How can we be rooted? The apps is, I'll talk about apps, this application, ABP, Bible application. This means when we are in Christ, we should try to walk in Him. Now, what does it mean walk in Him? This means experience. If you have experience in God, the more experience you are with this one true God and this Christ Jesus, the less likely you will fail. You'll fall because people persuade you. Because you have already experienced. For example, I don't know what computer you use. For example, your computer is Dell, right? Brother, is your computer good? Not really, right? How about you? What's your computer? Acer, is it good, Acer? Huh? It's okay only, right? Who thinks computer is really good? You're really satisfied. What do you use? Fujitsu, okay. If you use Fujitsu, I heard that Fujitsu is very expensive. But actually, it's more durable. But if you use it, and it's so good, and you know it, right? How many years it lasts already? Okay. This is the price range, right? But if it's, you use it for 3 years, 5 years, never breaks. Wow, so good. And people tell you, come on, Fujitsu is junk. Look at my Acer, it's better. You say, no, come on, mine is last 5 years already. It's still fast, still lasting. And yours, because you have experience on your own. God is the same. God is not a theory. You come here to learn the teaching. God is waiting for you when you go home in a few days. You can test it out. For example, keep Sabbath. If you truly keep it, you receive the experience, the blessing. Offering 10% to God. If you truly do it, God bless you. Right? This Holy Spirit that we receive, if you keep praying in the Spirit, you'll receive the blessing. But if you have no experience, you don't walk in it, you don't practice it, of course people can persuade us easily. Continue, verse 7. Next one. Rooted and built up in Him. I mentioned about this briefly, right? Foundation is the key. Don't just rush into holy work, but rather ask ourselves, am I prepared? Am I rooted? If the storm comes, will my tree be uprooted totally? You have a whole life to do holy work. We are young, we are 20s, right? If God allows us, we have at least 4 decades, 5 decades to do holy work. But the problem is, are we rooted? Are we prepared? Some people, when they do holy work, they have no concept. They have no Bible concept. And after a while, they give up. After they do holy work, they stop coming to church. They have so much complaint to the church. They have so much complaint to people. And they even get so down, so despair, just because they do holy work. Why? You cannot blame holy work. You cannot blame God. It's your own problem. Because you are not rooted. You are not prepared. You are not built up. And you try to go to the battlefront. So that's why it's very important. Let's read verse 8 to 9. Kong, can you read for us? Yeah, verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. Read loud, clear. Again, so we summarize this characteristic. Okay, let's everybody read it together, loud and clear. Underline this, put a big star in your Bible. 1, 2, 3. Okay, so this verse 8, verse 9. is all this morning and afternoon we are trying to explain, right? Don't let anybody cheat you. Because in Christ, already there's everything. All the fullness. What does it mean? In Him dwell all fullness. Underline the words all fullness. All fullness means in Christ, you are lacking nothing. You need not to supplement anything else for your salvation and for your well-being. We explained this verse this morning, right? The Godhead bodily form. This means God, full divinity, is in Jesus. You see Jesus, you see God. You know Jesus, you know God. That means you don't need anything more. Feng Shui, yoga, Kung Fu, all those things people sometimes are crazy about. I don't know whether you had testimony. Right? Kung Fu, if you go to the higher level, why those monks, just like Superman, why they can do nobody can do? His spirit behind them. You know, when you practice Kung Fu, you have to worship the master. Of course, when you just learning exercise, nobody asks you. But when you're up to a certain level, they ask you, you must worship the master. You must worship the idol. The idol gives them power. Look at yoga. How many practice yoga here? Many. Sometimes people say, oh, I practice yoga on diet, right, to train my body. But if you look at yoga, where does it come from? It's come from Hinduism. All the gesture or the body movement is related to Hinduism. The origin of it is from this pagan religion. Feng Shui is even worse. Feng Shui is superstitious from Taoism. But sometimes people say, why if Feng Shui, if you say it's not correct, but other people, when they practice this, it's so effective. If you change certain orientation, position, objects, suddenly your luck change. How can you explain this? Anyone? Yeah, always good to blame Satan, right? It's true. If it doesn't work, who will believe in him? So devil must try to make it work somehow for them. So that they will believe, wow, Feng Shui is really, really true. Superstitious, have its ground. So it's all the power of the principality of the devil. But we know you're in Christ. You don't need Feng Shui. You can put whatever you want to put in your room. Your door can open to whatever direction you want. No need to practice Kung Fu. You can do more exercise. I teach you this morning. Right? All I teach you this morning is not Kung Fu. It's not Tai Chi. And even, I'm just breathing. So, you don't need any other things. All you need is our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19. Next. Verse 19. Holding fast to the head. All right, chapter 2, verse 19. 持定元首, holding fast to the head. This is related to chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus is the head. Christ is the head. You have to hold fast to the head. Spiritual problem appears. Our faith becomes weak. Our family fall apart. Children don't listen to parents. Or parents don't earn the respect of the children. Why? All the problems can come back to one fundamental problem. It's because we don't hold to the head, Christ. We try to be our own head. I try to do whatever I want. That is the problem. But if a person connect to the head, think about you, all your action now, brother and sister, some of you are dozing off, some of you are writing, touching your face, right, writing. All the action is controlled by your head, right? It's your head tell you to do so. Some doing the head just now, right? Some do this. All the action, every body movement, even the stomach, even everything, your feeling, everything is connected to the head. Now, what if one day someone, the body part, failed to listen to the head? What will happen? Brother, you tell me. What disease is it called? It's called what? Stroke. When you're one of the vessel burst in the brain, bleeding his eye, damaged the nerve, the brain cannot control the arm anymore. Or they won't listen. Keep shaking, walking, walking, right? Some people on a stroke always walk on like this. Because this body part doesn't listen. Doesn't listen to the brain anymore. It's disconnected somehow. If it's totally disconnect, what will it become? Become what? Vegetables. Become veggie, yeah? Land of, why? Totally lose the ability to move. Now, spiritually speaking, brother and sister, can you imagine, sometimes if we are so far from Christ, we are disconnected to Christ, we are just like a spiritual veggie. Tables. Why? Sometimes we don't like to read Bible. We are not connected to the head. Jesus wants you to read Bible every day, but you spend 2 hours on Facebook instead. Vegetable. Jesus wants to pray at least 30 minutes a day. We don't like to pray. What are you? Vegetables. Right? Jesus wants you always come to church early, dress up for church and put church serious. But you're always so lazy, rather study. Jesus cannot control you. Jesus wants you to do this, but you cannot be controlled. What are you? Vegetables. Spiritually stroke. Jesus wants you to keep your body pure. Right? Keep yourself pure until the day of marriage. But your heart is so want to get a girlfriend, get a boyfriend. What are you? Vegetables. Yeah, Jesus cannot control. Jesus wants you, your mind, focus on Him. But all your mind is on computer-related things. Video game, or bad size. What are you? Vegetables. Spiritually stroke. Because you're not connected to the head. So brother and sister, when we go home, really, think about, I don't want to be vegetables. I don't want to be having a spiritual stroke. Please God, I want you to control me. 2 days, 3 days later, we walk out of this house. Who is waiting for you outside? Satan. But I don't want to listen to him. I don't want to be vegetables. I don't want to be spiritually vegetables. Stroke, lying on the bed, do nothing. Christ wants to control us. If you let Christ to be your head, He totally controls you. You have life, you have peace, you have joy, you have everything. You are so active spiritually. So, connect to the head. And then He tells us, if you connect to the head, what will happen? You'll be nourished. You'll have so much nutrition spiritually. Just like you come to MIT as you are connected to the head. You know physically you are tired. But I think spiritually now you are fed well, right? Who have feel that these 2 weeks I've been fed so well? Raise your hand. Even too much. So much food. If you listen carefully for the past 2 weeks, the past 2 weeks the teaching you receive is more than your whole life could be in a systematic way. So when you connect to the head, you're so nourished. But now, if you're connected to the head, you'll be closely knit together. Now this is very important. Joints and ligament grows in the increased as from God. I love this verse, underline this. At the end, you underline every Bible verse. So good, the Bible, right? Now, think about this. If you look at the structure of this verse, saying that if you hold onto the head, what will happen? First, you are nourished. And secondly, you will be close together. How can a family be close together? In 5-10 years, maybe all of you will be married. Why and how to maintain relationship between husband and wife? Nobody agree? You think 5 years is too long? Too short? Maybe 3 years, I don't know. Some of you. But how to maintain relationship between husband and wife? You remember this verse. If husband and wife both connected to the head, both relationship will be always good. Sometimes me and my wife have disagreement. Of course, sometimes we argue. But when we argue, what happened? When she's angry, I'm not angry. I'm angry, she's not angry. After a while, we kneel down to pray. And then we think, you use the Bible, okay, which way the Bible, the concept is correct? And then we listen to who? And then finally we settle everything. And we kneel down to pray, Holy Spirit is guiding us. Wow, we feel we are so close. But can you imagine if you marry someone who is not from the same faith? You are not connected to the same head. So that's why it's so difficult. It's extra difficult to share a lot of things from your heart. Unless you are having a one head, same head. And here tell us, the joints, ligaments, grow, increase, that is from God. I'll come to that later, this verse. Oh. Okay, now let's come to a question. Think about why so many people develop wrong teaching and heresy. According to the Bible, heresy not necessarily come from outside. Even at the end time, some heresy will come from within the true church. Just like 2,000 years ago, apostolic time, heresy from, even though there are heresy outside, but there's inside people, some inside people, preach not according to the truth. And that is the most deadly. That's most deadly. Look at me first. Right? If now there's a Buddhist monk come in trying to talk using this microphone, what will you do to him? Don't stone him, okay? But you say, no, please, this is, you are not allowed. You are not a TGC member, right? You are a Buddhist monk. You're not supposed to speak here. And even if he try to talk to you, be so careful. I know, you Buddhism is different than us TJC, right? But if a member educated in the church, Bible teaching, or even a preacher, even a deacon, say something different than the Bible, but you may not even notice, maybe you accept it. So that's why we have to be super careful. Make sure we are not the one in the future to preach heresy. Why people will preach heresy? Actually, if you look at the very end, the root of the factor is pride. Pride, if a person have pride, he'll be used by devil to preach heresy. Because pride is the root of all sin. So if the person is pride, he doesn't want to connect to the head. He want to be the head. He want people to listen to him. If a person is pride, he always want to preach something no other has preached before. Now that is very difficult. This is very strange. Now, sometimes you look at the Bible, people always talk about the same thing, over and over again. Just different way to present it. But some people are not happy. If we are not careful, we could be the next one. Oh, I don't want to talk like this traditional view. This has been preached by so many generations of preachers before, right? I want to be different. And then I think, I want, because I want to be different, the pride is inside, the things you say out. You can be controlled by devil. Wrong teaching. Maybe because he's proud, he wants to be outstanding. And devil know, if there is pride inside a certain person, devil can use him, confuse him. And he didn't know. Now, if the pride, if the heresy is from within, is from the true church inside, from someone used by devil, he won't know he's preaching heresy. Please. Don't think, oh, I know I'm preaching heresy. I'm still preaching heresy. Do you want to listen to me? No. If a person is deceived, he doesn't know he's preaching heresy. He thinks I'm the only one who received this revelation. He thinks I'm the only one who know this, and you guys are so blind. Why you cannot understand God's will? This is exactly how the devil can twist the mind and deceive the people. That's why when we study the Word of God, the more we study the Word of God, the more we are into spiritual level, there's another pitfall that we have to avoid, is pride. Right? Of course, when you are deep in spiritually, you won't easily go to commit all those sins anymore. Right? But the pride. Pride is the things that can kill the work of God. So make sure we won't be used by devil to preach heresy. Okay, let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. Hold on to the head. You don't know how to read? What? Okay. And then things will grow. Let's scroll back about this Bible verse, right? Read this again loud and clear. Try to memorize it too. 1, 2, 3. Now, the end result, if you are connected to the head, you will grow automatically. Grow is not something that you push forth. Grow is something so natural. If your spiritual life connect to Christ, you'll grow. Because grow, here tell us, grow is from where? Growth, spiritual growth is from where? I can hear. Louder. Yes. If you want spiritual growth, only from God. Only God can make you grow. God can touch you. So hold on to Christ, we'll be nourished. Hold on to Christ, we'll be united. Why sometimes there's argument, division? Because we fail to hold on to Christ. We forget who is the boss. And our relationship with God was damaged. But let's go back to the fundamental. When we go back, make sure our life is totally connected to Christ. Then our relationship with other people will improve, will be fixed. Then we will enjoy spiritual growth. May the Lord continue to help us. Let's pray in silence.